Blog Talk Radio.
Into another, well, hey, how about our 29th edition this season of Fred House Sports' Cleanup Hitters program. 29th edition this season, as we're coming to you here on the last week of Major League Baseball's regular season. Hard to imagine that the time has gone by already this quickly. But there we are. There you have it. And I'd like to say that, well, we know exactly what's going to be happening next week. I'd love to be able to tell you that, but that would be the furthest thing from the truth. And you just got to love what's going on right now in Major League Baseball with so many different, you know, that's all they had to do. Just add one more wild card and suddenly everything gets all turned upside down. The American League is, well, we'll get into it. Right now, at this point, we know basically one thing. We know one thing. That's it. We know the Kansas City Royals have won the AL Central. That's it. That's all we know, with six games remaining. Over in the National League, things are a little more, starting to come into a little more focus. We'll talk about all of that. We're going to talk a little bit about, well, you'd think we'd be talking just about playoffs. That's what we should be talking about here, as we only have six games remaining. But no, we're going to be talking about Jonathan Papelbon and Bryce Harper on a team that is, I don't know, did anybody tell them they're irrelevant? Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And, well, we'll get into a couple of other issues, including, well, some interesting comments from Bobby Valentine. Yeah, well, always controversial. Bobby Valentine had a couple of things to say about drug use. I don't know. Maybe he knows. Maybe he has some personal experience. I'm not sure. Let me get in my panel for this evening. Many thanks to both these guys because they're doing double duty here this evening. You know, because the panel with just a couple of weeks left is starting to get to be a little bit well, you know, we got to make adjustments when we have to. Nick Swartz is joining us. Nick, thanks for jumping in and helping us out here at Fred House Sports, as you always do. Appreciate that.
My pleasure. Always enjoy talking baseball. It's a very exciting time of year.
Absolutely. And our other Nick. So I'm going to be doing the Nick thing here tonight. Nick, you okay? How you doing? You got fed and you're good and you're not going to faint on us, right?
No, I made it over. I had two slices of pizza, a grilled chicken sandwich, a grilled cheese, and some fries. So I think I'm good for the next hour and a half.
Holy smokes. What are you in training?
It's the first time I've eaten since 11.
Are you planning on running the art museum steps or something or what?
I'm planning on not running for the next couple of weeks.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I guess you're good. Based on that, we might have to take this show to like 4 hours. all right, let's do this. As we have made our habit, and listen, gosh knows after 29 weeks, we don't want to change our habits. Let's Let me get let me borrow Caleb's sports machine, and we'll find
tonight,
out what's going
through
on.
Through the use of the sports machine.
Yeah, let's find out what's going on right now in Major League Baseball. Hey guys, we got a really interesting game that got postponed. I don't know. When are they going to make this game up? We got a postponement between the Cardinals and the Pirates. Doesn't surprise me. We are getting some absolutely horrific weather here in the Pennsylvania region. And basically, we're expected to be in the doldrums for about the next 7 days. Because apparently after this system, we're supposed to get another one that's going to be the remnants of a tropical storm or something that's supposed to hit over the weekend. So we got some real nice weather coming to Pennsylvania here in the next couple of days. So it doesn't surprise me that Pirates game got postponed. But I would imagine, what are they going to try to do, a doubleheader tomorrow? Anybody have any clue on that one? I don't have an update on
it. I know that with the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles are playing a doubleheader tomorrow. I'm not sure what's going on. I just seen the St. Louis postponement just now as you were talking.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, maybe we can at some point we'll see if we can track that one down. But that's a very, very important game because technically Pittsburgh still mathematically alive to still win the NL Central. We're going to get into a couple of other – we'll get into talking about the NL Central here in a couple of moments. We got a 7 o'clock start time for the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. Yankees, the best they can do now – no, they still have a shot, right? They still have a shot at winning the AL East. Yes, they're still mathematically – yeah, they're still mathematically alive. Toronto has, in fact, clinched – a playoff spot is what they've clinched, but the Yankees are still in there with the possibility of still being able to win the AL East mathematically. We got a 7 o'clock start as well for the Toronto Blue Jays, who are down in Baltimore. The Mets are down at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. Another delayed game. This game delayed right now. The Minnesota Twins. Being hosted by the Cleveland Indians again, not surprising with that low pressure system. The Nationals are in Atlanta, also delayed right now. The Cubs are in Cincinnati. 7:10 start Marlins in Tampa Bay to play the Rays. Those are the 7 o'clock games. So we do have a couple of delays there. So we'll see how that all plays out. Here in the next, and like I said, maybe we'll check on, if I get a moment here, I'll check to see whether they've made any decisions on when they're going to make up that Cardinals game. But that is flat out postponed. So that's not a delayed game, that's postponed. So they already know, they're not even going to try to play that one tonight. We'll take a quick peek at the power rankings, but it's, with six games only now remaining in the season, it's kind of irrelevant, but we'll take a peek at them. Pittsburgh still sits there in the number two spot, which I think is terrific for them. Of course, they're looking at it going, that's terrific, but we might actually be playing next Wednesday night in a play-in game. The Toronto Blue Jays sitting in the number three spot. Who moved? Who did what? Well, the Miami Marlins were the biggest movers. They moved up three spots to 28. Oh, how about that? Wow. And the biggest movers downward were the Cincinnati Reds dropping to – they dropped four spots to 28. Mm-hmm. We were talking, I do want to talk a little bit about the standings. We're going to get into the standings, but And before I jump into this, let me do this just as a reminder because I forgot to do it before. If anybody out there wants to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. We're going to be here until 8:30 tonight, so please stop on by. Stop by the house, give us a holler, and let us know what's on your mind with regard to Major League Baseball or your team or your team's chances of getting into the playoffs or whatever it might be. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here on the telly. Pick up the cell phone, pick up the landline, 347-826-9964. If you are listening on a computer and you are Skype capable, just hit the Skype button. Otherwise, you can jump in the chat room. You can leave us a message there, or you can hit me up over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. We're going to get into talking about the playoffs, but I find it somewhat ironic that I guess pretty much since Sunday, I guess a little bit later on Sunday, all the videos and what have you were all over social media yesterday. That's when I first noticed it on Monday. We should be talking playoffs, but really the top story's got to be Jonathan Papelbon. The big story's got to be Jonathan Papelbon going after his own player, Bryce Harper. And let me do this, okay, before I get into anybody's comments on it or thoughts on it. I got a minute and a half here. I'm going to play. This was the call. This was Bryce Harper at the plate. This was the call from Washington. I believe it was covered on Major League Baseball Network, on MLB Network, and it was also, I believe, this is the Washington Nationals' actual feed. So what you're hearing here are you're hearing the Nationals' announcers. Let me play right now. This is as it occurred. And this was what happened on Sunday's game between, believe it or not, it was Philadelphia Phillies.
Then Bryce Harper will hit it in the air to left. Jeff Francoeur, after switching over, makes that catch.
Let's check out the sequence between Hinojosa and Bryce Harper. First pitch, heater right down the middle. Bryce looked like he was taken all the way, then up and in, look out. And he got one a little more inside, third pitch, and fourth pitch in the same place. Popped him up.
There is something going on in the dugout. But Bryce Harper evidently nose-to-nose with Jonathan Papelbon.
Unbelievable.
One out, bottom of the eighth, and turmoil in the dugout. Escobar 0 for 3.
See Papelbon saying run the ball out. And Bryce saying you got to be kidding me. And then Papelbon went right after Harper. Getting ugly, folks. There's no other way to put it. That stuff happens throughout the course of the season, but that's not good.
Now, that was the call. As you heard, like I said, that came from the Washington announcers. I sat and I watched. There were a couple of different camera angles on the incident. As Bryce Harper was coming off the field and down into the dugout, Papelbon, was approaching him up onto the stairs, and I mean he is looking at him and just trash talking and bad mouthing and the jaws going, talk at Bryce Harper the whole time. I mean it almost appeared that he was like trying to instigate. Holy smokes, guys, this is I got my opinions on Jonathan Papelbon. We're all from the Philadelphia region, so we have some familiarity with Jonathan Papelbon. And, he's a nutcase as it is. I don't think anything portrayed it probably better than what I saw here in this particular video. Nick M., what do you make of this?
I think it's frustration. We've, for a couple weeks now, been discussing the frustration on the Nationals and that possibly being a driving factor behind Papelbon calling out the fans and addressing the media and just several things that have happened with the Nationals this year. It's a product of this team was supposed to be 10-15 games up in the division and well into the playoffs by now, and instead they're 9 games out and eliminated from the playoffs. I see both sides. I agree with you. You know how I feel about Papelbon. I think, quite frankly, he's a bit of an ass, and that's not a secret, but no closer should ever tell a hitter, let alone possibly the best hitter in the NL, maybe even the league, what to do on the base pass, what to do in the box. I totally agree that Papelbon is absolutely to blame here. But that's not saying there's no blame to be put on Harper either. I mean, Harper, it's been an issue. At some point, he's got to grow up. And I understand Papelbon instigated it, and Papelbon was the first to make contact. But if you're Bryce Harper, just keep walking. Just walk away. Walk to the other end of the dugout. Don't let Papelbon get what he wants. Don't let him fire you up. Just let him chatter. Let him run his mouth and walk to the other end of the dugout. I think there's some blame to be put on Harper, but a lot of this, it's definitely majority Papelbon. Like I just said, Harper needs to he needs to just walk to the other end of the dugout. Similarly, Papelbon's just got to shut his mouth. I mean, really, you're eliminated from the playoffs. We get it. You didn't come to Washington for this. We get it. You're a closer. Don't tell Bryce Harper of all people what to do when he's on offense. The whole thing was just an absolute mess, and it's the epitome of the national season this year, and quite literally, actually. One of my good friends that I write with, Jack Merlino, he said something along the lines of, there's never been a more literal symbol, more literal incident to define a team's season than Jonathan Papelbon choking Bryce Harper.
Yeah, all right. The imagery's there. It's not obviously not lost. But let me ask you a question about this one, because I hear what you're saying, and I've heard this argument made in a couple other columnists and what have you have made the argument. Well, now, look, the team is frustrated. That's what you saw there. You saw a frustrated team. All right, hold on a moment. Jonathan Papelbon got moved to this team. How much investment does he really have in the Washington Nationals? I mean, seriously?
Well,
are we trying to say that Jonathan Papelbon is frustrated with the Nationals? You know, with all due respect, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think there is frustration. There's frustration in the locker room from perhaps some players toward Bryce Harper, and I think somebody got Paps put him up to going at Harper. That's what I think.
I think you're absolutely right in that sense, too. There's been several people, anonymously, really, that have said Harper needs to be put in his place. Finally he's broken out and he's just absolutely tearing up the league. His numbers are insane. It's no secret he's having a phenomenal season. But sometimes a 22-year-old, if a veteran's going to scream at a 22-year-old, so be it. That's how the sports work. But I would argue that the frustration for Papelbon doesn't necessarily come from the Nationals season as a whole. I mean, these are two of the most competitive players in the league. These two hate to lose, both of them. You're going to put them on the same team. Bryce Harper is on this team and he's frustrated for reasons, as said, the Nationals have just choked this year. Jonathan Papelbon, the frustration might come from, I was with the worst team in the National League. I come to this team thinking I'm going to be in playoff contention, thinking I'm going to get the pitch in the playoffs. And where are we on September 29th, about 9 games out? So I think the frustration isn't necessarily invested in the Nationals, or doesn't come invested in the Nationals, but Papelbon's frustration is more so, God, everywhere I go. I'm with the Phillies, they stink. I come to the Nationals, think it's a better team, and we're doing nothing but lose.
Well, I'm trying to reconcile a couple of things here, and I'm hearing what you're saying. Harper is highly, highly competitive. But one of the bitches about him from that we have heard, at least third party, because nobody will step forward and associate their name with it. One of the complaints we've heard about him is that he's not a team player. So while he's super competitive on one hand, he doesn't know how to play as a team guy on the other. So aren't you kind of defeating the purpose? I mean, Bryce Harper, it's time for you to look in the mirror. I guess that's where I'm at with it. I don't know how can you be super competitive and not a team player? There's the question I throw at you, Nick.
I don't think the two are exactly 100% correlated. I get what you're saying, but I mean, there's levels of competitiveness. There's competitiveness as in the scenario of I need to win a World Series. I want my team to win a World Series. And there's competitiveness in I'm the best player on the field and nobody out here can even touch me. And I think that's more where Harper's coming from. He's competitive in the sense that he thinks or knows or thinks, or this is an entirely separate argument, whether he is or he isn't,
but we'll just, for the sake of the argument, he knows he's the best. And he wants everybody to know he's the best. He takes the field, plays the game like he's the best player in the game, and team wins come second. If these allegations and these rumors that he's not a team player are true, if he's not a team player, then those come second. But the competitiveness is still there in the form of personal competitiveness, in the form of nobody on this field, whether it be on the other team or my team, is as good as me or can tell me what to do. You know, this competitiveness, so Papelbon comes up to him and says, you know, run out that ball, what are you doing? I don't know what he said, but just run out the fly ball, run the first base. And Harper's sitting there saying, who do you think you are? You know,
I got
I'm
you.
I'm on top. And he's 22 years old, and Papelbon's sitting there, what, 30 years old, been around a while, he's got a World Series in Boston. He's a little bit more of a veteran. He's screaming at Bryce Harper, and the competitiveness in Bryce Harper is not, I want my team to win. The competitiveness in Bryce Harper is, how dare you put yourself on my level, let alone above me.
And in some respects, I agree with your assessment on that, Nick, that when you said earlier that no closer has a right, and I don't care what their age is, I don't care what their veteran status might be, I don't think a closer has a right to go to perhaps one of the faces of the franchise and tell them how to do their job in an area that, look, let's get it straight. How many at-bats does Jonathan Papelbon have? Okay? So I hear you on that, and I'm in 100% in agreement with you. You know, as far as Bryce Harper perhaps maybe sitting around pounding his chest that he's the best, I might remind him that there's a guy over in the American League by the name of Mike Trout, who I frankly think is a little bit better and is perhaps a bit more of a team player. Nick S., let me get you in here on this one, because we I guess what? It was yesterday, I think, it was you, Caleb, myself, going back and forth a little bit over this issue. Perhaps maybe Nick M. was in there on it. But went back and forth over this issue a little bit. So let me get your thoughts on it. What you know, we're hearing a lot. I'm frankly shocked to hear so much support for Papelbon. That was a shock.
Yeah, that was one of the things when I was looking at different articles and we were talking about it. And the first one was, you know, a big negative, Jonathan Papelbon, which as someone expected. And then the one saying about a player, the guy was talking, he sounded like he was a former player. And he, you know, pulled, talked to whatever, you know, 15, 20 players, and the majority of them supported Papelbon. It seemed to me, and I said it yesterday, that it's the guy that wrote that particular article seemed to have some sort of agenda against Bryce Harper. And I feel like that's the case with a lot of people. People either love Bryce Harper or hate him. There's really no gray area. This situation, it's crazy that what Harper did to actually set this up wasn't the pop out and not run on the bases. It was Papelbon hitting Manny Machado and then Harper mm-hmm. coming out after the game and saying something like, you know, pretty much like, look, you hit their best player, you know, like they're going to come after me and not liking that. Papelbon, after that, just by watching him, not only in Boston but in Philadelphia, he was just waiting. He was waiting for a reason. He was waiting for some way to get back at Bryce Harper, which, in my opinion, he has no right to do. He came in to help the Nationals get to the playoffs, maybe win a World Series, which so many had predicted would happen. It's not his fault that they stumbled and they're not even going to make the playoffs. But he needs to know his role. I don't dislike Bryce Harper, and I think he's the NL MVP. And, you know, if he wants to go around and pound his chest, and if that's what the style of baseball that he plays, and if he wants to do that, you know, sometimes you have to deal with big egos when you have high-talented younger guys. I would bet in like 5 to 6, 7 years, Bryce Harper's going to look back at this time in his life and think, you know what, there's some things I could have done differently. Because we all do. You know, it's hard, you know, because we all analyze professional athletes. But this kid came in the league at 19 years old. There's not many people, and I doubt any of us, could have handled what he's handled. And he's the best. And then another thing about him not running the pop-up out and, you know, that kind of being his game. But what also is part of his game is going 100 miles an hour all the time, trying to run through brick walls or outfield walls to get pop-ups, jump over the fence to grab home runs and being injured all the time, where the Nationals prior to the season said, listen, you got to find some, like, yeah, we want you to go 100%, but you got to find somewhere in the middle there so we can keep you on the field. So the Nationals pretty much gave him a pass to walk, to jog out pop-ups, and they asked him to tone it down a little because they need him on the field. But the bottom line to all of it is Jonathan Papelbon has had no reason to do that, and I guarantee he came into that game the next day and was waiting for a reason to come at Bryce Harper. How often do you see a relief pitch up on the top step in the eighth inning? He was up there. He was waiting. He was waiting for something to happen, and Bryce Harper did what he typically does in situations like that, and I don't disagree with that. And Papelbon goes at him. And then, they're having a mouth battle. They're going back and forth, which happens a lot between teammates. But Papelbon was the one that made the move and went for the choke. And at that point, there was any question whose fault it was, the second Papelbon put his hands on Bryce Harper, it's on Papelbon. And he should be gone. They need to eat that $20 million, and he needs to go. Get out of Washington. They have enough problems. They don't need Jonathan Papelbon problems. I don't care that they need a closer. They have already alienated Tyler Clifford, the guy that should have been closing for them. So there's a relationship to fix there, but you don't have Papelbon in an already explosive clubhouse.
I couldn't agree with you more that there is no doubt that Papelbon was loaded for bear. I mean, this was purposeful. He was just waiting. He was waiting for the first opportunity to blast off. And I mean, it does appear when you're watching the two of them converse as quickly as they were back and forth in the dugout, it does appear that Papelbon uses the not running the ball out as the reason. That does appear. However, it could be that, Papelbon's going, what are you afraid that they're going to throw at you? Are you afraid of that now? It could have been something like that, where it could have been just something. But there's no doubt about it, Papelbon was poking the bear. That's exactly what was going on there. He brought it on. Let me ask this question, I'm asking it devil's advocate. I've got my philosophy on it. You got a team like Washington who, as we pointed out, for the past, five weeks have been in the flush cycle. Yeah, okay, they're just holding their head above water from the standpoint of being a 500 team. They're 4 games over 500. They're 9 games out of first place. They're 11 games out of the wild card. You got 6 games remaining in the season. Does there come a point when it's like, you know what, guys, we're going through the motions. It's okay if we just go through the motions. Does there get to a point where it's okay to go through the motions? I mean, look, I'm looking at the Colorado Rockies, 21 games out of first place, 25 games out of the wild card. Is it ever acceptable for a team to just go through the motions in the final week of the season?
No,
Nick M?
This is a loaded question.
I know I'm playing devil's advocate. I've got my own. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like, all right, so you're 21 games out with a week left in the season. Part of me wants to say, it's okay to go through the motions. These guys play thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of baseball games over the course of their career. And if these 5 games at the end of the season really don't matter, as long as they're not just laying down, if they just want to go through the motions and just kind of get this week over with and start fresh, from an outsider's analyst perspective, I see that as okay. As somebody that played baseball, through my youth, it's just, you take the field and every game, there's so much more to every game than just a win or a loss. And obviously the win and the loss are so much more important. But like, take for instance, the Phillies. The Phillies were eliminated long before they were mathematically eliminated, long before.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it's okay to go through the motions, because I can't come up with an instance or a situation for a game where there's not at least something to be taken away. Whether it's the Phillies and you're trying to see what your young guys have, you can't see what your young guys have if they're not giving it their all. Whether you're the Nationals and you're trying to see what kind of path you should head down over the offseason, is it time to rebuild, is it time to retool, is it time to just roll with the team that we have, you're not going to know that unless you see your team give it your all. There's arguments both ways. If you're the Rockies and you're 21 games out with a week left of the season, honestly, if you just go through the motions, nobody's really going to notice. To be quite honest, nobody's going to notice. I'm stuck. Honestly, I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer. I see both ways, and it depends on what role I'm playing as I'm answering this question. The correct answer is no. You can never lay down. You always have to, you know, give it your all, play 110% on every pitch. But the practical answer is sometimes it's okay to just go through the motions on the last couple of innings of the season.
Nick,
but I'm willing to be convinced either way. I mean, if you guys can sway me one way or another, I'll make that. Nick, you and Mike, do this. Try to convince me one way or another, because honestly, I don't have an opinion. I really want to see what you guys say here.
Go ahead, Nick. Ask. What do you think?
Yeah,
is it ever okay that you're on the Philadelphia Phillies squad? You're 59-97 right now. You're 30 games out, and you've got 6 games left.
No, it's not acceptable at all. I mean, for, you know, someone that played baseball for 20 years and put on a really bad college team, I look at it, you know, not from just how myself. I look at it, you know, from like a coaching standpoint as well. I think you're going to see, especially on a team like the Philadelphia Phillies, as a GM or president, manager, this is when you see the what your players are made of, not just physically, but, like, mentally, and, like, are these the guys that you want to keep building with? When there's nothing on the line, when you're 20-some games out of first place, are these guys still battling every night? Because you want winners on your team. You know, you don't want to accept – when you start accepting losing, you're a loser. That's just, the truth. It doesn't matter. You would have to figure out ways – I know that I did this in college. You have to figure out ways to make things, you know, like, there's still, like, something to play for even when there's not. You know, we were one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. You got to come up with ways that, you know, like, challenge yourself. Whatever you need to do, whatever gets you going, challenge your teammates, whatever. But from a manager, you know, GM, president standpoint, these are young guys being called up in that September call, and they need to see that there's a fight in them. To just fall back and not play. As a veteran, if I'm looking at them, I'm thinking, like, this guy isn't the leader that, you know, I thought he was, because I think that a lot more problems come out when you're losing than winning, obviously. And also a lot more comes out when the season's over. Like, who are the guys that are still trying? You know, especially for these younger guys that are coming up and getting the chance that they normally wouldn't have if their team wasn't out of it. If you're not up here fighting for a roster spot right now to make an early impression on spring training next year, then there's something wrong with you. No, I don't think there's a time ever, because I think that if there's 6 games left, 10 games left, you're 30 games out, whatever. If you accept losing, you're a loser, and I wouldn't want players like that on my team.
For myself personally, my sport was hockey. I did not play baseball, but I did play hockey, and organized hockey. And I will say this, that there were many, many games that I was involved in that had absolutely no significance whatsoever. And I played every single minute that I was ever out as if I could turn that game around, even if we were getting blown out by 8 goals. I can't play that way. I can't play that way. But I'm going to be honest with you. I can't answer for every other person on my team. When we were getting blown out 8-0 or 7-0 in a game that didn't make any difference whatsoever, can I speak to the fact that the rest of my teammates were giving 100% as I was? No, I can't. All I could do was play the game the way that I felt the best way to do it for myself. And by virtue of doing that, would hope that perhaps maybe in some respects that would be a role modeling sort of thing. But would I necessarily blame a teammate who perhaps maybe didn't give 100%? I don't think I necessarily can when you're down by, like I said, under the circumstances that I'm just pointing out, where you're down by, a multitude of runs or goals, and the game is insignificant. I don't know if I necessarily can blame my teammates. I'm not going to play that way. That's how I would approach it. By posing the question and then answering it myself, that's kind of where I am with it. Am I surprised? Do I think that Bryce Harper in this particular case didn't run it out and didn't give 100%? I saw the video. No, I don't. I don't think he did. I do not think he did. I think Papelbon, if that's what Papelbon was yelling at him about, I think that was probably accurate. I don't think he did. Do I blame him for that? No, I don't, because the team is irrelevant. Am I wrong in that philosophy? Well, some might say it's a bit contradictory, Mike, but I don't know. Have we helped in any way, Nick M?
You have, actually.
Really?
Yeah, you have. You just kind of some of the things you said allow me to think, agree and disagree. Mike, I'm with you in that I myself could never play that way. I especially as I got older and just some different experiences I had by the end of my little youth career. I was a guy that whether it was practice, a scrimmage, a game, if the count's 3-0, 0-2, every pitch, never took a pitch off, gave it everything I had to the point where I went home. If I could go home and walk, I considered it, not a great effort. I'm also incredibly competitive. That's a blessing and a curse. A lot of times I'm too competitive. So myself, I could never play this way. And I guess that's kind of what's getting in my way here is because, Mike, like you said, I can't speak for others. If we're in the middle of the season and we're in contention and somebody's not giving it everything they have, I'm going to be incredibly, incredibly just ticked off. I'm going to be in their face. I'm going to be annoyed because that's just not the way to play anything. It's not even not the way to play anything. It's not the way to do anything. But if there's three games left in the season, you're out, 20. If there's a week left, we'll be the Rockies. If there's a week left in the season, you're back 20, 21 games and somebody's not giving it their all and I'm not on the team. If I'm on the team, because I'm uber competitive, I'm probably still going to get a little annoyed. But from an outsider's perspective, I still don't know if it's really something to get that worked up over. And Nick, you were talking about this is the time when you see what your players are really made of, at least mentally. You don't want winners on your team. You don't want losers on your team. That's all great and well in Little League and high school and in college. But when you get to these teams that are worth over $400 million and you're paying these guys to play, and it's more of a business than it is a game at the professional level. Sometimes the I want winners on my team only goes so far, because if you're 57 or 50, whatever the Phillies are, 50-something and 97, what does it really matter if you have winners on your team if the team itself is not a winner?
Are you kidding me? Look, wait. No. Look, so you're saying, because I'm going to use the Phillies as a perfect example. The Phillies are bringing up all this young talent, that they have, and they do have a nice group of young, talented players. So they're looking for next season and the year after. They're looking for the guys to build for the future. So using the Phillies, again, as the example, why would you not, as a GM, as a president, as an owner, as a manager, would not want to see these young players trying really hard, regardless of their record? Because these are the guys that you're going forward with, that you're going to build around to hopefully bring a championship to Philadelphia. So you'd want to see them competing every single night, regardless of the situation. I think having winners on your team, if you have people that accept losses, that accept losing, and that are okay with it, that's not the type of people that win championships. You need – I'm very competitive, too. You said you were. Mike was saying he was. I don't think it's any – I actually think that it's bigger, and I think the exact opposite of what you're thinking, that at the major league level, regardless of the money, regardless of the business, the bottom line is they're playing a kid's game. They're getting paid a lot of money to do it, but ultimately they're doing it to win a championship. The teams that are out of it right now are trying to build themselves a foundation for years to come, and that happens right now.
I agree with you. And what you said, one of the first points I made was that if you're the Phillies, you want to play out these last couple of games, even though you were eliminated long before you were, because you want to see what these young guys have, and you're not going to know what they have unless they're playing to their fullest. I agree with that much. And I also agree that you don't want a losing mentality on your team. You don't ever want anybody to accept losing. Perfect example in another sport is the Sixers. I get so nervous that they're tanking, and all these guys that are supposed to be the stars of their team by the time they're ready to become good have the mentality that losing is okay when we get there. I agree with you that much. I think how I should have worded it is, if you're worried about if you have 50 wins and 100 losses or whatever it may be, and you're worried about their winning or losing mentality, that's secondary at that point, because you've got a bigger issue at hand. You've lost 100 games. I mean, whether or not these guys have a winning mentality or a losing mentality, it's probably time to bring in new guys anyway. And in the Phillies' case, again, that's what they're doing. They're bringing in these younger guys. These younger guys wasn't the team, at least for the most part. A lot of these younger guys are not the team that lost 100 games. So I guess how I should have worded this is, if you're really that bad, if you're the Rockies, if you're the Phillies, and you're just playing out the end of the season, you probably already know what kind of team you have. You probably already know you have a bad team, and it's time to do something with it and time to change. So whether or not Ryan Howard, or whether or not Carlos Ruiz, or whether or not another veteran on this team, whether or not one of these old guys has a winning mentality or a losing mentality, first of all, you probably already know what kind of player he is by the time they get to this point in their career. Second of all, if you have 50 wins, whether or not these guys accept losing, the team has lost, and it's time to do something differently anyway. So I think I kind of portrayed my thoughts wrong. I don't think you should ever accept losing, but I think if you're in this case where you're 20 games back with a week left in the season, that whole winning mentality, losing mentality is not your number one priority.
Having said that, though, Nick M., let me ask you this question. The Washington Nationals are a team that should be in the mode that you're talking about. And really, when it comes right down to it, they're a team that maybe only needs to maybe tweak this thing a little bit for next season to get to where they should be. How does anybody on that team justify what – I'm sorry. I agree with Papelbon. What I saw was a Bryce Harper that was lackadaisical in that particular play. So how do you justify, oh, here's one of our young, he's a young, main pieces of the team. We want to instill this concept of team winning, and yet you got a kid, he's not a kid, he's been in the league now, this is his fourth year. You got one of the leaders that obviously is not portraying a winning attitude at a time when they probably should be. With something like the Phils, a little bit easier perhaps maybe to justify. I mean, and Nick S. would probably even disagree with me on that. A little bit easier to justify with something like the Nationals, not as much so. Let me go one more time, though, back before I move things around here a little bit. Let me go back to the Papelbon issue for a second. I want to juxtapose it against something that we've seen recently, something that we saw recently. We might all remember that Geno Smith over with the New York Jets is not playing right now. Why? Because he was accosted by one of his own teammates, broken jaw, out for, what is it, 6 weeks? One of the things that was mentioned about that particular incident was, there weren't a whole heck of a lot of teammates that stepped up to get Geno's back on that one. Well, we didn't see a heck of a lot of that here in Washington either. Now, while everybody is, I don't know, as I guess Nick S. pointed out, or one of you did, Bryce Harper is either loved or he's hated. There it is. There's no gray. The question I throw out is, while it appears that Harper does have a public relations problem, the question I throw out here is, Jonathan Papelbon's not on the Washington Nationals next year, right? And is he even pitching at all anywhere in Major League Baseball? Nick S., what do you think?
The Nationals have a lot of problems. I would think, from everything that I've read, and these people that are following the Nationals every day, that Papelbon is gone. I don't see how you can bring him back. I know Bryce Harper came out and said all the right things, that if Papelbon is going to help us win a World Series, you know, I'm all for bringing it back, blah, 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 all that. But you know that that's crap. We all know that that's crap. You know, you're going to come out, you're going to say the right thing after, especially if you're the face of the franchise, and I'm sure that he was talked to by everybody. So he went out there and said the right thing, but I don't see how, with Papelbon's personality and Bryce Harper's personality, how they can possibly coexist. I'm not sure what the Nationals were thinking in the first place. I don't know why they brought Papelbon in at all when, you know, they from a baseball standpoint, they had someone I thought was just as capable and not have to waste the $20 million. But you have the personality that he has. I wouldn't have brought him in on a team on a – they already had so many issues going on. And why bring a toxic personality like his in? I just can't see the Nationals. I see the Nationals eating them. I think it's $20 million for next year, the option that they picked up. And then the sad part, and maybe the I guess it's from my point of view, it's a sad part, is there's going to be a team that needs a relief pitcher desperately, and they're going to pick him up. In my opinion, Major League Baseball needs to step in and suspend this guy for longer than 4 games or whatever it was. The rest of the Nationals had some suspension too, whatever it was, 4 games, I believe. And they should suspend this guy seriously. Like, he put his hands on another person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the bottom line. Like, if that happens on the street, Mike, if I go up and we're arguing on the street and I go and choke you and you call the police, I get arrested.
Yep.
So, like, that brings, like, so many other questions in my head. Because there's been hockey fights where the police have got involved. There was one in Colorado. I was covering the Hershey Bears, and I remember that something happened in Colorado with a fight, and the police were going to get involved. Why weren't the police involved in this? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was one of the first things that I thought of when I watched that video is, like, this is actually, like, simple assault. You know, like, it would plead down and all that nonsense. But the bottom line is, you don't put your hands on another person like that, you know? And regardless of what Harper said, regardless of, you know, he's a face of the franchise, bottom line, real people stuff here, you put your hands on another person, the police are involved, and they're not. The Nationals need to do the right thing, cut ties with this guy, fire Matt Williams, and clean up and have the team that everyone expected them to have. Like, they bombed in so many ways, and get Papelbon out of there. And I would hope no one picks him up, but someone will.
Yep. Nick M., real quick, what do you do with Papelbon?
I don't think he's back in Washington for a lot of reasons. Nick hit on most of them, but I think the most important one is that of all players to put your hands on, it's the face of the franchise. I think he should be gone. I see him out of Washington. I see a lot of guys out of Washington, honestly, especially Matt Williams. I agree with Nick. I think he should be fired. But I find a hard time believing he's not going to find a job. There comes a point where you have to say, okay, this guy's really good. You know, Jonathan Papelbon is still really good. He's a really good closer. Somebody's gonna overlook this and say it was one incident. He's incredibly competitive. He's a little too outgoing, to put it lightly, but he's really good. We can work with it. We'll sign him. I would find it very hard to believe if he doesn't find another place to play.
I put forth a suggestion yesterday, and that was that just based on the video and the egregiousness at which Papelbon, attacked him. I mean, it was incredible. I frankly think that the man should be indefinitely suspended by Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. pending the clearance of a psychologist. I really do, because it appeared to me to be very, very violent. That's a little bit unnerving. That's number one. Number two, though, I go back to my original contention. It was completely provoked. If you continue to watch the entire video, and I'm Nick S., I think you probably did. You see Bryce Harper come around to the end of the dugout. He goes around the corner and down into the clubhouse. And Pavel Bond stays up at the top on the stairs with a stupid-looking grin on his face. Let me get one of our good buddies in here, Richard from New York. Richard, thanks for jumping in with us here on Frat House Sports' Cleanup Hitters. What's on your mind tonight? What do you think? What did you think of this Bryce Harper thing?
I saw bits of the video. I didn't see the whole thing, but I did see Papelbaum, violently strike out at him, and I think he should be released. And I agree with you, Mike. I think that he needs to get some. I think he should be demoted to the minors for 6 months, and given to seek some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Till he gets cleared out, and then I think someone. At a set date, as of June 1st of next year, bring him to the majors. But I think he should, really have a long sit to think about what went down and to ponder, and to look at his anger issues and stuff like that, because what he did was totally unprofessional. He showed up a teammate, and he was a bad teammate.
Yep. I think that in some respects that's what shocked me more than anything else. We've seen two players from two different teams go at each other. We've seen that this year numerous times. A guy gets plunked in the back, at the plate, and all of a sudden we got a bench clearing brawl. Okay, and listen, we get in, as fans, when that happens every once in a while, it's it kind of gets us going a little bit, not dissimilar to the old, hey, we got a hockey fight going, we get into it a little bit. Listen, I don't care who you are. You're going to admit that you do. This was two teammates. We have seen two teammates yelling at each other before. We saw that on the Phils this year, if I'm not mistaken. We saw a couple of the Phils players barking at each other in the dugout, but not one jumping at the other's throat, for gosh sake.
Crazy.
I mean, that's an assault. That is an assault. And that is what is really, really disturbing to me. And, I think it was Nick M. who brought up your on the panel said, Papelbon is super competitive. Well, sometimes super competitiveness can lead to over-aggression. And sometimes over-aggression can become a psychological problem. And perhaps maybe that's what Jonathan Papelbon.
I think he needs to have someone talk to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's it.
Absolutely. What else you got for us tonight, Richard? What do you think of your Chicago Cubs? They made it into the playoffs. That's where they sit. They can't win the division.
No, and they probably can't catch Pittsburgh either. So it looks like it's going to be a game in Pittsburgh with Arrieta versus Cole.
And that'll be next Wednesday night. According to the Major League Baseball schedule. And, are you prepared to go with an early assessment or do you want to wait until next Tuesday and give it to
instead?
I
think I'll have to wait. I have to, I have to put on my Carsoni hat, I have to really give it a ponder. I got to really digest this.
Wow. Yeah, you know, again, we go back to what we've talked about here, you know, recently, and that's the one-game play-in. It's when you take a look at, you know, good for the Cubs. You know, I'm looking at the standings today, and I'm saying, wow, look at this. Good for the Cubs. 91-65.
That's a heck of a record.
That is a heck of a record.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Fantastic situation there. And, boy.
They won a game. They won an 11-inning game, 1-0 yesterday, which they, if you played that game 10 times in recent years, they would win one of them. I mean, they're winning games that they never used to win. And yesterday was a good example of a game that they could have lost in the past and would have.
Mm-hmm.
This time they won it.
And, you know, that was one of the things that you had called in here, Richard. What was it? Just, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And you had expressed some concern about it because I think on that particular day the Cubs had dropped one. And you said, well, you know, that's not a game that a good team drops. You know,
yeah, no,
and
I remember saying that.
Yep, just a couple of weeks ago. And so basically, I guess what you're saying is they made up for that one yesterday afternoon.
They certainly did.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you jumping in with us this week. Anything else you got?
I just heard that Derrick Rose is hurt. He broke an orbital bone, I guess, near his eye or something.
No.
No, I'm serious. And he has to have surgery. And he's going to be indefinitely out. I mean, they don't know how serious it is, but this is on the news, and I'm thinking maybe 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know, but this is really a blow to the Bulls.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, there's got to come a point when you got to start thinking. Derrick Rose has got to start thinking about, you know, this is it. You know, hang it up.
I mean, this guy's been out
more than he's been in. He's been out more than he's been in what, the past four seasons?
It's true. I don't know if he'll miss regular season games. There won't be many, but this is a blow. This is definitely a setback. It's just not a good thing.
Wow.
I think it's an orbital bone. I think it's near his eye socket.
Oof.
Thank God it's not his knee.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it doesn't affect sight. You know, hopefully it doesn't affect any sight situations. All right.
Right.
All right, Richard. Thanks for jumping in with us. Touch base.
Okay.
We're looking for your predict on NL play-in game. All right?
Okay.
I'll give you a call. Thanks, Richard.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Let's jump it around here. Anybody wants to jump in with us, please? 347-826-9964. That's how you can get in with us. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, if you're on a computer and you're Skype capable, hit the little Skype button right off of the Blog Talk Radio page. Jump in the chat room. Leave us a message there at Blog Talk Radio or hit me up over on Twitter at Frat House Mike. Real quick, let's take a look at the playoff picture in the National League. We know this much. NL East is set. Mets have won the division. 89-67 record right now as we sit here this evening. In the Central, we know that all three teams have clinched a playoff spot. The Cardinals, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Cubs have all clinched a playoff spot. The Cubs cannot, as you just heard me say to Richard, cannot win the division, but they are guaranteed a wild card. We're waiting on the other two because Pittsburgh is still mathematically alive to win the central division. I guess we're still saying the Dodgers are mathematically alive. They're only five games in front of the San Francisco Giants, and so therefore That is undetermined at this particular moment. Nick asks, any thoughts on what we see right now in the National League? It's pretty much come together, I think, as everybody kind of thought it was going to, even 4 weeks ago. Mets, St. Louis will probably win the Central, Pittsburgh, Chicago playing for the wild card, and then the Dodgers are going to win the East West, right? This is the way it's going to go.
Yeah. You know, what's really impressive is when you look at the NL Central, the record, you know, St. Louis, you know, 99-58, Pittsburgh 95-62, the Cubs 91-65. Just imagine what the Cubs and Pirates are thinking, because you're right, the Cardinals are most likely going to win the Central. So the Cubs and Pirates are going to win 95, you know, plus, you know, between, you know, 91 and 97, 98 games. And what do they get for that? They get to play each other in a one-game series to get actually into the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I love the second wild card. I think it's exciting, and I like the setup. It's just, you know, you have such a great season, and it could end in baseball, like we all know, it's a game where the best of the best, you know, especially from the pitching standpoint, could come out and just not have a good day. Like, if they played the team, you know, 10 times that with that same pitcher, he wins, you know, the other 9, but he just has a bad night, like Lester, for instance, let's say, and, you know, the Pirates move on, or, you know, any of these teams in these wild cards, it's tough, and I'm just really impressed by looking at the division and how well these teams are doing, and any one of those three teams could win the World Series, in my opinion. You know, like, it's very, it blows my, I'm really, I don't look at the NL as much. You know, I'm an AL guy. I have been paying attention to the Central a lot more for fantasy baseball reasons, as well as Caleb's a Pirates fan. And so I've been paying attention, and I'm really blown away by how great these teams are.
Look at the dominance at the top of those three teams. There is no other division anywhere in Major League Baseball where you have three teams with 90-plus wins. And, you know, we've talked about this, and, you know, God love him. I mean, Richard's a big Chicago Cubs fan, and, you know, he's been real good and real tolerant about it. He calls in here every week, and, you know, he says, you know, way back 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, he goes, hey, listen, if the Cubs make it in, well, the Cubs are going to be happy with that. That's good for them. They're going to be happy with that. Well, you know what? You got a 91-65 record, gosh darn it. And if you lose in a one-game play-in, there almost seems something unfair about that. The wild card really has to be expanded to 3 games. And we've talked about that as well. It really has to be expanded to a 3-game series. It has to be, right? Right, Nick? Nick S?
I would think so, but then I would think that Major League Baseball and the players, the association, obviously, they have to agree on it, because you're going to be pushing the World Series and even the Championship Series into November with a 3-game series. But there's a way of handling it the right way. Like, the teams don't need off as long as they get. You know, they're used to playing, you know, pretty much 6 out of 7 days a week. So there's a way to do this and end right around the same time. But I think it's only fair that these wild card teams, and this year is a perfect example with the Pirates and Cubs, it should be a 3-game series, because I don't know the statistics, but I would say it's probably rather high that the best team, at least on paper, doesn't win. I'd like to see a 3-game series. I think that's better for baseball, and I think that it rewards these teams, because when they went to the second wild card, you were rewarded for winning the division, because you automatically got, you know, a playoff series. I think that in this case here, these teams should be rewarded with, you know, at least a 3-game playoff.
I'm just sitting here thinking about it, and, you know, some people have squawked and said, well, no, you can't mess with the 162 season and what have you. You know, we've had people on that have been proposing the 158 season, the 156 season. We've had people on this year, just this year, right on this program. Let me throw a concept out there real fast and just get everybody's real knee-jerk reaction to it. You know, the NFL is talking about adding an extra layer of playoff games, and they're saying their response to that is, well, we're going to just cut back on preseason games. Why not do the same thing in Major League Baseball? Do we really need a full month of exhibition games? Nick M., what do you
think?
Yeah. Nick M.?
I actually remember talking about this when we first started this show right after the spring training games. I don't know if we need a full month, but I don't think it necessarily hurts. There's a lot of players involved in spring training, some of which are close to the majors, some of which are far, far, far from the majors, but they're all really important to see. And I also remember having this conversation. Spring training doesn't really mean much from a team victory perspective. You know, if it's a lot like the preseason in any other sport, football especially. But in baseball, you could go, I don't know how many games they play, we'll just hypothetically say 20-0. You could go 20-0 and have a bad team. You could go 3-17 with a really good team. The wins and losses in the preseason are kind of irrelevant and immaterial. But in terms of purpose to spring training, I think there's enough to warrant a full season. And if you were to take away some of that season, would you move the regular season up? Would you start in March? I think March – I like that the season starts, like, right at the beginning of April. I think it's a good time for the baseball season to begin when you look at, you know, everything extra, when you look at the seasons and the weather and whatever it may be. I think 1 month of spring training is fine. I don't have a problem with it. I think if you took some of it away, it wouldn't kill anybody. Wow, I can't speak. If you took some of it away, it wouldn't kill anybody. But if you left it there, I don't think it kills anybody either. I think it's just kind of – I think regardless of what you do with it, it doesn't make that big of an impact.
What I'm trying to avoid is the World Series going to Veterans Day. That's what I'm trying to avoid, because that's crazy. You know, that was one of the things that's been discussed, is if they go and they add games, you know, are we gonna find the World Series going into the second week of November, you know? Could we be getting this thing finished in around, just before Thanksgiving, for gosh sakes? That's silly. All right, well, just a thought. But let's go over real quick. Let's take a look at the American League. Because over in the American League, unlike the National League, well, the American League at this point right now, there's virtually nothing that's been decided. Well, no, that's not true. We do have one thing decided. We know the Kansas City Royals have won the AL Central. That's done. That's guaranteed. That's a lock. In the American League, we know that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to go to the playoffs. They've clinched that. The Yankees are still mathematically viable to win in the AL East. Otherwise, they become the first wild card, I believe. Yes, they would become the first wild card. Over in the AL West, Texas right now is a game and a half in front of the Houston Astros. And we talked about this, I guess, 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, the Houston Astros 2 weeks ago dropped out of first place. Texas took over. And holy smokes. Houston had led that thing all season long without a hiccup, really, and all of a sudden they have pretty much held on to now that second place spot. And the second spot in the wild card. Now, let's not forget about the Los Angeles Angels. They're only a half game right now going into tonight's play. They're only a half game behind Houston. So they still have a legitimate shot at not only the second wild card, but potentially maybe even moving up to take the West. Nick S., any thoughts on the American League? I know you're still kind of hanging in there for your Yankees.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts. Last time I was on, I expressed my concern with the Yankees, and so many people disbelieving that they're automatically going to get the wild card. The Toronto Blue Jays, we can pretty much say it with all comfortability. The Toronto Blue Jays, you know, have won the American League East. And then, you know, the wild card situation, I mean, not only am I a huge Yankees fan, like I was saying earlier to Nick, I'm financially invested now in the Yankees getting in the wild card and not only that, but playing it at home, because when the tickets went on sale the other day, I got three tickets. And, you know, it's such an exciting thing for my young son and for myself. I haven't been to a playoff game since I was very young. And so, like, now I'm a Yankees fan, one of the Yankees, obviously, to get in. But I'm very financially invested, and I see them just – I fear the same fear I feared 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when I was on, the Yankees blowing this. And we talked about the Red Sox, you know, playing the Yankees tough, the big rivalry, and then they end the series with the Baltimore Orioles, and we had some discussion about Buck Showalter and the Orioles and, you know, if they would give them their all and whatnot. And I think that how things are looking here between the Yankees and Red Sox right now, the Yankees are losing 6-4. Buck's going to want to knock the Yankees out of the playoffs, and it may not have been as competitive had it, you know, there'd be nothing on the line. But how the Yankees are playing and how they're pitching and through the injuries, this weekend is going to be very important to the Yankees getting in at all. They're 3.5 up right now. But the only thing that I'm very concerned. I'm a very concerned Yankees fan, and I'm a pessimistic Yankees fan the majority of the time. But this particular season, I feel there is that's a warranted feeling because of the injuries and the pitching not coming through. Michael Pineda started this evening, gave up six runs in the first inning. It's nice to see that the teams came back and scored four, but they're not scoring very many runs, and the Boston pitching staff's horrendous. So, you know, that they have it right here, and it's not like we haven't seen these epic collapses. It seems like there's one every single year, and since everything else is pretty much sewed up, I'm looking at the Yankees thinking, all right, they're going to be the one.
Well, not everything's sewn up. The AL West is wide open. Nick M., what's your thoughts on the AL West?
It's funny. The division as a whole just makes me laugh because this is a division that just has not followed expectations slightly at any point during this year.
Nope.
We talked for weeks and weeks about how this AL East is going to come down to the wire. It's going to be Yankees, Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays have a five-game lead. They're clinched. We're still looking at the AL West, and there's three teams all within two games right now. The Angels are closing in. The Astros are, you know, they fell back, but now they're kind of hanging where they are. The Rangers hang on to first place. This is a three-horse race in the last week of the season. It's really, really interesting because, like I said, first of all, not at any point during the season did the AL West do what we expected them to do the day after those expectations were set. Secondly, I don't think it really crossed anybody's mind as the AL West really crossed anybody's mind as the division that was going to come down to the last couple of games, as the final division to really be decided. All these other divisions are – if they're not done, they're pretty close. You could pick a favorite. It's AL West team. Not only does it come down to two teams, it comes down to three. It's just kind of out of left field. And to be quite honest with you, it's nearly impossible to make a prediction with these guys. I mean, you could pick the Rangers because they've got the lead and they've been playing well. You could pick the Astros because the Astros, for the majority of the season, have proven they're the best team in this division. Or you could pick the Angels because they've got the star power across the lineup and they have what it takes to make this final push, and they're right there. They're playing well. They've won their last six games now. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
Yep.
Honestly, I'd probably tip my cap towards the Rangers just because they have that game-and-a-half lead over the Astros and two games over the Angels, and there's not a whole lot of time left. And every day that passes, that 1.5, that 2, those small game leads become just a little bit bigger. But I did pick the Astros to come out on top last week and the week before. So just to make things interesting, I'm going to stick with them. I'd like to see the Angels win. It wouldn't kill me to see the Astros win. I don't mind really who wins this division, but I'll stick with my guns and stick with my gut and go probably against the grain here and say that the Rangers don't hang on.
Interesting. Well, you know, as you point out, Nick, what is crazy about it is that 4 weeks ago, and I want to say it was 4 weeks, I could actually pull the notes from this show from 4 weeks ago. I believe it was 4 weeks ago, as you point out, all of the attention was on the American League East. Nobody was paying attention to the AL West. Nobody. We weren't. Nobody was. It's only been within the past 2 weeks, suddenly all of the emphasis has shifted from the AL East to the AL West, And when you look at this tonight, I mean, it's glorious. It is positively glorious because we are six games away from the end of the season, and you've got Texas with 84 wins, Houston with 83, and the Angels with 82. Could you ask for anything better than that? Honest to God, that is absolutely magnificent. Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's setting up wonderfully. Absolutely wonderfully. Nick S., if you were a betting man, and I know that you're not, how would you... How would you? What do you think on the AL West?
You know, until recently, I thought Texas was gonna run away with it. And Nick's right. This division that never really lived up to what we thought is coming down and being an exciting, even if it's in a very strange way. You know, you look at the Rangers. 5-5 in their last 10. They're losing right now 2-0 against Detroit at home, nonetheless. And they play. They're a good home team, decent home team. And you know, you have the Astros and the Angels. I think the Astros win. And I'll go back to our conversation 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the Astros finishing the season against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I think that will be it. That's going to be what it is. Like you look at because the Rangers and Angels play each other to end the season. I'm almost positive that, you know, that the end of the season, the last three games, the Angels and Rangers play each other. So you have them playing each other, so ultimately one of them is eliminated. And then you have
correct.
The...
You're correct.
Yeah, so
the
then you have
four games.
The Astros playing the... Yeah, the last four. So you have the last four games between the Rangers and the Angels, so they're eliminating one. And then you have the Astros playing one of the worst teams in baseball, even though they play better at home than they play on the road. And, you know, we'll go back to my gripe when we talked about it then was how bad this scheduling is with the interleague yep. at the end of the season. Like, if you're the Rangers or the Angels, you have a serious gripe that you could really hang your hat on here. I know it's not about excuses, but come on, like, they're playing each other. Like, at least give, you know, the Astros another team in the division. I think that every team should end, regardless, should end the season within the division. Not, especially not outside of the league. You know, it seems that everyone else has ended up in division. So, that bothers me, and I'm going to favor the Astros. If I was betting, that's who I would take.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I'm almost positive. I'm almost positive. I should have marked the tape on this one tonight. I wasn't thinking far enough in advance. But if I'm not mistaken, back when we looked at this 2 weeks ago, and I had all of the schedules of everybody for the last 2 weeks in front of me, and I ran through them, I believe that I said, look, the Astros have the easiest schedule mm-hmm. of the other two. And it would seem to me the Astros should pull this off at the end. So I'm going to stick with the Astros myself on this one. I think the Astros are going to pull this off in the end. That's what I think. So that would end us up with the Mets, the Cardinals winning the Central, or I'm sorry, we're over in the American League. I would suspect the Blue Jays are going to win. So we're going to have the Toronto Blue Jays. The Kansas City Royals and the Houston Astros will win the respective American League divisions. That's where I kind of think it's going to go. And then your wild cards will be the Yankees and the Texas Rangers. There it is. All right, so we're breaking it down. I have a funny feeling this deserves a little bit more attention then we're going to be able to give it here this evening. So we may actually come back to this again next week. And next week at this time, we'll be coming back to you. And the American League play-in, the American League wild card play-in game will be going on. So when we come back here next Tuesday night, that'll be important, that the American League play-in game will be probably just getting underway, my suspicion.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. I'm hoping to call in. Yeah, I'm hoping to call in from Yankee Stadium to the show and be like,
"Oh,
yay, go Yankees!"
Oh, that'll be awesome, man.
I got my tickets. the Yankees just need to follow through on their end of the bargain.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're on the air at 7 o'clock, so, you know, you can call in advance.
Absolutely.
I want to bring this up real quick before we have to wrap things up for the evening. Bobby Valentine came out with a comment. When was this? This was dated September 25th, so a couple of days ago. Bobby Valentine came out. Now, Bobby Valentine, mind you, is, I don't know. Some people like to discredit him and say he's a bit of a nudnik anyhow, you know. But I don't know. He came out with a comment the other day, and I got to, you know, I haven't even had a chance to actually hear, because apparently he said it on a talk radio program, and I want to hear it in its totality. But the segments that were broken out, well, Bobby's okay with PEDs. I think they're good for sports, and eventually, they're going to be legal. You know, I know I think the three of us are all, I think if I'm fair here, I think the three of us, I can fairly say we are all pretty much purists. I think we're purists. I don't want to speak for anybody, but I think that I can get away with that, that we're purists of the game. Give me first, as I like to say, knee-jerk reaction. Give me knee-jerk reaction to that one, Nick M. Bobby Valentine, PEDs are okay for sports.
E-jerk reaction, can't believe he admitted. whether or not you believe it, that's a really heavy statement to make, especially when you're as tied in with the league as you are. You've had a career as a manager, you played, you're with the media. That's a heavy statement to make. Again, I'm sure I'm sure there's many, many managers out there now that have managed in the last 5-10 years, that have managed before that, that are okay with PEDs, but and I understand he's not a manager anymore, he can say what he wants, but for really anybody that tied with the game to come out and say, yeah, PEDs are fine, not only am I okay with them, but I think they're good for the game, let's just say he's got some guts. He's got some guts to come out and say that, because he knows the backlash he's going to get from baseball fans, traditionalists or non-traditionalists. I think you don't have to be a traditionalist to be against PEDs. I would say the majority of fans are against PEDs.
Okay, you're saying it takes guts. I'm not hearing, however, what you think of his stand on it. I'm suspecting you're completely opposed.
Oh, yeah, I thought that went without saying. I'm completely opposed.
Okay,
to
okay, just checking for the record.
Must remain illegal, knowing people will still do it. You
just
legalize it, everybody does it.
Just checking for the record. Just wanted to make sure we're on the record, you know, so mark the tape sort of thing. Nick S., listen, the argument has been made by some that, look, we all knew what was going on back in the early 2000s. I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, there was something in the back of all of us that kind of, oh, come on, this doesn't smell right. This doesn't smell right. And we kind of knew something wasn't, and yet, boy, we were tuning in, weren't we, near the end of the season? Oh, for what, the last month, as Sammy Sosa and McGuire went on their tear, and who was actually going to win it in the end, right? So, isn't that what Valentine's basically saying? Hey, look, it's good for sports. It's good for sports because it makes it more entertaining.
I get. I mean, you know, I'm looking at his quote. He said, you know, when asked, he said, you know, probably if you want to see the best out of our athletes, and if it's not harmful to the athlete. I don't know, unless there's some PEDs I don't know about, the ones that are banned by Major League Baseball, they're all harmful, unless, like, there's, like, a creatine or something like that, which I don't think is on the PED list. He's an idiot. That's his best way. He's an idiot. He's an attention-seeking idiot, and he's always been that way. I'm sure he truly feels like this. I'm sure there's others that do. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't see how you can say, you know, if we want to see the best out of our athletes, we're going to let them juice up. I mean, what if a guy doesn't feel comfortable juicing up? Let's say it's legal and it's allowed, and Well, first of all, it would be illegal in the United States because there's drugs that, like, the bigger ones are illegal in the U.S., so they'd be breaking the law. But let's say technically they were. You know, there's some guys that just don't feel comfortable doing it, so it wouldn't be an even playing field. There's just so many issues here, and I really believe he just said it just to say it because that's his personality. He's
yep.
just an idiot.
I couldn't agree with you more. I really, you know, I'm reading it, and you know, it's Bobby Valentine. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, gosh, yeah. Well, sure, this came from Bobby Valentine. Of course it did. Because that's what Bobby Valentine does. Bobby Valentine wants to be a lightning rod. He knows how to get the clicks, man. I'll help you guys get your clicks. That's what it's all about. We're going to revisit that though. I want to get into that a little bit more. I want to get it because I might actually be able to get, you know, because apparently he did say it on a sports talk station, and if I can get the audio, I wouldn't mind actually being able to play a little bit of that here, and we'll revisit that next week. We're going to revisit that. We're going to be talking. Look, at next week at this time, the season's over, and we're talking playoffs. We will be starting the AL wildcard play-in game. The NL wildcard play-in game will be the next night, so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the rest of the playoffs as we go. So there's going to be a lot of things to talk about next Tuesday evening. Not that there wasn't this evening, for sure. Perhaps maybe Jonathan Papelbon will do something more outrageous yet this week, even in his suspension. Who knows? But while we've got just a couple of minutes here, one of the things we do need to do, we have our final week. Now, this does not mean it's the final. No, we'll keep going with this through the playoffs. But it's the final week of our regular season series streak challenge where all of us pick one team that we think might win this current upcoming week. And we only have 1 week left of the regular season. So we're going to be somewhat limited in our games next week, obviously. But here are the standings right now. I and Nick right now are tied at the top at 13-12. Not a very good record, but this is a lot more difficult than you think it might be to do. Sean is 12-13. And Caleb is 11-14. Kind of looks like the AL West, doesn't it? 13, 12, 11. Yeah, right there. Anyhow, here are the picks this week. Sean is picking the Los Angeles Angels to beat the Texas Rangers. And as soon as Caleb found that out, he flipped it and said, okay, I'm going with the Texas Rangers to beat the LA Angels. Nick M., where are you heading?
I'll go Twins over Royals.
I was looking at that one myself. Twins over Royals. This one will not please Nick S., but I'm going to go with the Orioles over the Yankees.
I believe
nothing,
it.
Nothing personal, Nick S. Nothing personal.
I think it too. So
you
no
know
worries.
What? You know, I love you, but I like the Orioles too. Anyhow, there we go. There's our show for this evening. Many, many thanks to many thanks, Nick S. Thank you for jumping in with us here this evening. Nick M. for doing double duty and jumping in as well because you weren't scheduled. Many thanks to everybody that's listened out there, including Richard from New York. Make sure you are here with me tomorrow night. Brandon and I will be talking NFL, and we're going to be wrapping everything up. We're going to be X-ing and O-ing what happened this past week in the National Football League. Holy smokes. Yeah. Can you imagine the Baltimore Ravens are 0-3? Oh, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about a bunch of other games as well. We'll be X-ing and O-ing a bunch of things right here on Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Be here for that one. Thursday night, we got the 212th edition of the Frat House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for both of those programs, tomorrow night and Thursday night. Friday night, we got a date to talk some fantasy football with Caleb, 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here, Fantasy Friday, coming up on Friday night. Saturday, I'll be back here with you at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for relaxed Frat House Saturday program. In the meantime, You know what you got to do. Hey, get out there and enjoy the last week of baseball, will you? Yeah.